Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I am your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. Once again, it's great to be with you. Today, the focus of the program is standing. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. I will be joined by a very special guest, Ms. Sharon Fountain. On yesterday, I had the privilege to work with Ms. Fountain on a Turn Texas Blue event, where we contacted registered voters in the area to encourage them to get out and vote. This was my first time participating in an event like this, and Ms. Sharon made it easy as possible. So I'm very, very glad to have her join us today. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that as well. Now, to join the conversation, contact us at 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. For those of you that are listening or visiting the website, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter at TaylorMade101 for real-time updates. Today I also have a chat room open, so there are several ways to join the conversation. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking to Ms. Fountain about organizing for America as we continue to push towards the midterm elections. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Each week, I do a piece called Moment of Reflection. This week's Moment of Reflection is the Montgomery boycott. For those of you that are not familiar with the Montgomery bus boycott, let me explain. The Montgomery bus boycott was a political and social protest campaign started in 1955, and it was started in Montgomery, Alabama. It was intended to oppose the city's policy of racial segregation on its public transit system. Many historical significant figures of the civil rights movement were involved in the boycott, including Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Ralph Abernathy, and Rosa Parks, just to name a few. The boycott resulted in a crippling financial deficit for the Montgomery public transit system because the city's black population, who were the drivers of the boycott, were also the bulk of the system's ridership. The ensuing struggle lasted from December 1st, 1955, when Rosa Parks was arrested for refusing to surrender her seat to a white person. It lasted all the way from 1955 to December 20th of 1956, when a federal ruling, Browder v. Gale, took effect and led the United States Supreme Court decision that declared the Alabama and Montgomery laws requiring segregated buses to be unconstitutional. Now, I bring this up in my moment of reflection for two reasons. First, I want you all to recognize that this issue was not just about race. It was a matter of economics and the power that African Americans have when they are united. Let me say that again. It was not just about race. It was a matter of economics and the power that African Americans have when they are united. Recall that I said that the boycott resulted in a crippling financial deficit for the Montgomery public transit system because the city's black populations, who were the drivers of the boycott, were also the bulk of the system's ridership. The second reason I bring this up because of a recent news article in Politico.com. The article states the following. The Republican Party has nominated 14 black House candidates this year, an unusually high number for a party that doesn't currently have any black members in its congressional ranks. There has been a perception that the black community is a monolithic thinking, looking, and voting community, and when people see the average black person, they assume that all voted for Obama and they all supported government entitlements. Now, I'm going to let you in on some facts. There are 42 black members of Congress, 41 in the House, and, of course, Illinois Senator Roland Burris, who was appointed to fill the seat of the president vacated. They are all Democrats. Even this year, on only a handful of GOP black candidates have a realistic chance of winning in November. Now, I consider this to be the second okey-doke. Well, you may ask, what was the first? Let me tell you. The re-election of George W. Bush in 2004 was the first, and here's why. In an article in the Washington Post by Daryl Fears, dated Wednesday, October 20, 2004, it states, a significant number of black Americans, 18%, said they are willing to vote for President Bush, even though his job approval ratings in the community are quite low, according to a national opinion survey released on that day by the Joint Center of Political and Economic Studies and African American Think Tank. Now, I didn't even know we had an official African American think tank. Wow. I wonder why we're still... Never mind. I digress. It goes on to say, Eddie Williams, the center's president, said black Americans are holding conservative positions on some wedge issues like same-sex marriage and civil unions. About half the survey's black respondents oppose marriage and civil unions for gays, compared with 39% of non-black respondents. Now, I say by appealing to African Americans' fear of same-sex marriages, African Americans voted Republican in record numbers during the Bush era, failing to vote for their own economic and political interests, resulting in the start of something we all have come to know as the Great Recession. Here we are again, 2010 to be exact, about to file for the okey-doke number two. Now, something is oddly strange to have 14 black House candidates this year to pop up all of a sudden during a critical campaign. This should tell you the significance of the movement. Pay attention, people. If we did learn anything from the Montgomery boycott, when African Americans are united or were united, we are a pretty tough cookie when we are together. It has been often said, when you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. Are we going to stand today? Are you going to get out and vote? Is this the last opportunity for African Americans to finally realize the American dream? Are you going to stand for something? Or is this the fall of African Americans in our society? This election is one of the most significant ones in our lifetime. I'll be taking some callers here in a minute. So to join the conversation, contact us at 323-580-5712. Again, that number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening or visiting our website, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter. TaylorMade101 for real-time updates. Now, today I also have a chat room open, so you can also chat with me out there. And so let's turn to our guest now, Ms. Sharon Fountain. Ms. Sharon Fountain, hi. Are you there?
Yes, hi, Patrick. Hi, listeners.
Right.
How you doing?
Absolutely wonderful. Now, to our listeners, Ms. Sharon Fountain is a Christian, a mother of two, wife, homeowner, and accounting professional. Now, although Ms. Fountain was recently laid off, she continues to stay engaged and volunteer. She is passionate about volunteering with MS and is a community organizer for the Democratic Party. Ms. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you so much.
Tell the listeners a little bit more about you and how to get involved with Organizing for America.
Well, actually, Organizing for America is just a spinoff of President Obama campaign back in 2008 with his campaign manager, David Poloff. Again, so this is a spinoff, and it was to engage the voters now for the Senate election to get back out at the polls. Actually, we are trying to target those new voters in 2008. As you know, a lot of new voters came out in 2008, and a big percentage of the young population. So we're trying to get them back out at the polls this year for the Senate election. And if you understand the history of in Senate races, it's a small percentage of minority get out and vote in the Senate races. I mean, it's just a known fact.
Absolutely. But, and I was just listening to Channel 8 News this morning. They had a In Texas campaign story they run periodically. And it says that 55% of Republicans are engaged and are motivated to a mere 28% of the Democratic Party.
Oh,
that
my gosh.
Is pathetic. That is pathetic. I'm going to take one of our callers just a moment, Sharon.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. Hello, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. Caller 404, are you there? Hello, caller. Area code 404. Are you there?
I think somebody got shy.
Yeah, all right. It looks like they disconnected. Nevertheless, the report this morning showed that 55% of Republicans are engaged, and at just to 28% of Democrats. Now, that goes to your point about the Senate race. Seems like we get really excited about the presidential campaign. Now, although
right,
the president
right.
has, you know, he's pretty much make policies on from a global or national level, it is truly the local politics that affects us the most. So why do you think we don't get out and vote in record numbers like that?
Exactly. And what I don't understand is we want to have all these things in life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to vote, you know, your word is just silent. And I just encourage, right now, Patrick, we having kind of difficult time of getting volunteers.
Okay.
Actually to helping us getting the word out, reminding the voters that, oh, hey, we have election coming up November the 2nd.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
So we need volunteers like never before. We have a fraction of volunteers, and we just don't have enough, you know. And I know as people are busy, people are looking for jobs, like I myself looking for a job and helping out with another organization, volunteer. And it's hard sometimes to volunteer. But like you said earlier, this is a crucial time. This is a crucial election. This is the most crucial election in history.
Absolutely.
And the people need to understand that. I don't know what is the people are not getting at this particular election. We cannot have everything to be reversed, what President Obama has put in place for the people.
Absolutely. All right, Ms. Fine, I'm going to go ahead and take my next caller here.
Okay.
Okay, caller from 0606, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Hey, Mr. Cook, this is Leo Baron Hicks. How are you, sir?
Absolutely wonderful, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. You know I couldn't miss your show, man.
I appreciate that. So we're talking about pretty much if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. And I kind of went over, took a reflection a moment, looked back a little bit about the Montgomery boycott, bus boycott. And I talked about, you know, it was not just a racial issue, it was an economic and political issue. And it showed the power that the African Americans had when they got together and they were united. So now as we look forward, you know, over 50 years later, we're in a situation where we have an African American president. He's moving the country forward. He changed health care. He's signed a small business bill, and he's doing things for education. And yet, today it was a report out that 55% of Republicans are engaged for this midterm election as opposed to 28% of the Democrats. What's our problem?
Mr. Cook, I look at it from a historical analysis. an historical point of view. Our forefathers literally died to give us the right to vote.
Yes.
They were murdered. Megar Evans, if I'm not Megar Evans, if I'm not mistaken, was literally shot in his driveway.
Yes.
As his family looked on him when he was murdered to give us the right to vote. And it is a tremendous waste not only of our power, but of the sacrifices made for us to sit on our butts and not vote. I don't get it either.
You know, I was reminded from a conversation we had last week, and I kind of brought it up today, and that kind of spawned my moment of reflection to the fact that President Bush's reelection campaign, how they, according to the Washington Post, how they had an African-American think tank, and how they got together and looked at the issues that affected our social welfare, or the things that were that was really tied to how we felt emotionally or spiritually, and they kind of used that issue to get Bush reelected when it comes to with respect to gays and those unions. And so here we are today when they're talking about the Republican Party nominating 14 representatives for the House, and how I say in a similar fashion that they're trying to to deter or distort the situation in order to kind of bring them back into power.
Well, I mean, if you're waiting for a response from me, you're absolutely right in that the Republican Party pimped the large segment of the African-American community with the social issues that have nothing to do with our economic self-interest. That's the thing that amazes me most about it, Mr. Cook, that we vote for our prejudices instead of what's in our self-interest. What our self-interest lies in safe streets, economic development, voting, taking care of our children, taking care and loving each other. Whether someone is gay or not has no impact on my life whatsoever.
Absolutely.
If two gay people desire to marry, that has no impact on my marriage whatsoever. It's not a threat to my marriage at all. What is a threat to my marriage, though, is if I don't have a job.
Anyway. Absolutely. It should be an issue that we should really politicize anyway. I mean, we should be concerned, and that's why I went back to the whole component of if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. And they're taking it to the next level. They're trying to put themselves in a position to regain power. So Ms. Fallon, what's your stance on this?
On actually, with the Montgomery boycott, or are you just for everything? Everything you say.
Everything in general.
Is good. I mean, people just don't understand, you know, they came up saying, with this. Let's go back to even with the stimulus money that was approved. President Obama had to send some type of stimulus. The stimulus means to stimulate, to touch, to stimulate. You know, because when you come into something dead and something just have been corrupted, you got to do something to stimulate it, to get it back up. To up on its feet, and then that's what President Obama did, and you know it was it helped a lot of people, and it is helping people right today. The Republican Party.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying that I went out to Organizing for America website, and it poses the question out there that it says, you know, why are you voting in this election? And, you know, and I want to pose that question to all of the people out there. Why are you voting? When you get out there and vote, you know, have some stand for something, basically. And my response was that President Obama has made every effort to change the landscape of politics in the United States. He has been and continues to be the president for the people. He's approved legislation to pass TARP to save millions of American jobs. And then when I hear people argue about TARP and about the fact that, you know, that money that was put into the economy, how is going to bankrupt the nation? Well, it was started by the Republicans. It's a Republican program that was initiated that he continued in order to keep the economy going. He also passed legislation to ensure that millions more have health insurance.
Exactly.
He most recently passed a small business bill to empower small businesses to hire more people and to make going into business much more feasible, all the while being met with the resistance from the Republicans and members of his own party.
Well, Patrick, is the Republicans, it's a history, and it's just a repetition thing they do from history, that they don't care about the middle class or the low class, or it's all about their class. And if you're not part of their class, you're going to be X'd out. See, when President Obama put the Recovery Act together, that was unbelievable. That was the most beautiful thing any president did in the history of America, to put that Recovery Act together for us. And then what I understand, how would the Republicans even say that unemployment benefits is unconstitutional? I don't know if y'all just heard that about a month ago. They stated that unemployment benefits is unconstitutional. If they think unemployment benefits is unconstitutional with all the millions of Americans who are unemployed, I can just imagine what would take place if they get and take over the House, God forbid, if that ever happens.
So, Mr. Hughes, what is it going to take for us to use that collective power that we used in 1955?
I don't know the issue
that's going to get us to get out in the masses to vote and participate?
I don't know, but let me make a comment about what your last guest just said, and then I'll try to address that issue. The person who said that unemployment was unconstitutional was a teabagger in Alaska. He's one of Sarah Palin's cronies. I think his name is Wilson, but I'm not sure. But the ironic thing about that is his wife got unemployment. His wife was working, absolutely. His wife was working for him a few years ago. Somehow or another, she lost that job, and she was getting unemployment. It amazes me that unemployment is bad for everybody else, but it's perfectly fine for him and his wife. And, you know, Mr. Cook, what I've said over and over again, the real message of the Tea Party is this: as long as I got mine, the hell with everybody else.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's what their real message is.
But, you know, what's interesting is they have one. And so they are united on the issue. I mean, even though it may be incoherent, it may be crazy in some cases, but they have a message. They stand for something. And that's why they have so much traction. That's why they get so much coverage. And so you have these pockets of people that oppose them, and when they live together, they own message. I mean, they strictly own message. Even though the message we know makes no sense, they are on message. What is it going to take the other side, the Democratic Party, if you will, to get on message?
Well, Patrick, and another thing, and this is what's irritating me as a Democrat and being a volunteer for the Democratic Party, what irritates me is that we're not the Democratic Party. They're not doing enough. Like, I need to see a rally to take place. You know, I'm just a volunteer. I could just voice my opinion to them and say, okay, why you're not having a rally? What's going on with this? Why you're not doing this? Why you're not doing that? We can call all day. I have phone banks at my house all the time. You know, we have canvassers. They go out and they walk and they knock doors to doors. Sometimes I have two and three shifts of phone banks at my house, and we call and we call. Well, you can call all day long, and you can knock on some doors. That's fine and good. Don't get me wrong. But look when the Republicans went and got a permit and did the rally in Washington for the Dr. Martin Luther King, whatever.
Not too long ago. Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. This is something that the Democratic, I mean, how come they couldn't have got a permit to have this rally done? Even right today in Dallas County, why we couldn't get a permit to have a rally at the Dallas City Hall and the Tarrant County City Hall? So people need to see it. See, sometimes, see, we as a human, we are visual kind of thing. We
mm-hmm.
appearance kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about visual and appearance. We got to see it. We got to touch it. And for us, for our minds to start back clicking and start thinking, oh, my gosh, this is really happening.
Right.
I got to go vote. Oh.
So we need something to be excited about.
Somebody call somebody and knock on somebody's door, and they're going to knock on your door, and they're going to, you know. We need to do much more. We've been a little too passive, and this passive attitude is getting underneath my skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Republicans, like you said, they bust, and they
So, Mrs., I posed a question a few moments ago about, you know, what do you think the issue is that will get us up out of our seats? I mean, we sit here and we watch, you know, and we listen, but we don't participate.
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Cook, mm-hmm. To get to the lady's point, I think the problem with the Democrats is we're too wussy. We don't fight.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the bottom line is we got to fight. We got to stand up to these lunatic Republicans and say, no, we're not going for that. I don't care what you say and what you do, but I'm not putting up with that kind of nonsense. And, Patrick, to get to your question, I think it's going to take, at least as far as African Americans are concerned,
mm-hmm.
it's going to take years of re-education and recalibration as to what is really important.
So
is not important.
So what I hear then is that we have this opportunity with President Obama in the White House, and if it's going to take years for us to get, you know, get re-educated, then we're going to miss this opportunity.
We're going to miss it.
I think we might.
Wow.
But it's important, though, quite frankly, to sow the seeds of responsible citizenship. You look at the Republican Party, and you would think that this is an overnight thing. It isn't. They
right.
have been
oh,
sowing
yeah.
seeds
we know. Yeah.
for 20, 30, 40 years by developing Republican think tanks
mm-hmm.
that articulate Republican issues, by building
uh-huh.
grassroots leadership. You know, it's like Alicia Keys. You would think she's an overnight success, but she's
right.
been toiling in the field for years.
Trying
and I think that we are
going to
have to take that
yeah,
same
absolutely.
Tack.
So, you know, it's interesting. I'm very concerned right now because when I look at the polling numbers, although they may be skewed because of the messenger as well as the message, but I do think that when I look around, when I see the, you know, the participation around, you know, my neighbors or even the event that I participated in yesterday, when I see, you know, that there is a small amount of turnout, although there is some turnout, but not in the masses like they are for the
exactly.
Republican Party. We are in a situation where we're about to lose significant seats in the House. And so if
exactly.
we think that the president had a difficult time getting the current legislation passed, it would
oh
be just as tough or harder to get anything else passed. Now, although he did a great, an outstanding job doing the things that he did, but now we could be in a position where it's going to be a lot tougher. I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning in. I would like to thank my very special guest today, Ms. Sharon Fountain. It was indeed a pleasure to have you join us today. So
thanks
how can people
me.
Get involved, Ms. Fountain? How could
people can get involved by going on the website, www.barackobama.com. That's all they have to do if they have access to a computer, go into www.barackobama.com, and it'll walk you through everything. It has a volunteer button tab, and you just click it and just go. They even have a phone list that you can start calling past voters to get back out to the polls. It's right there. It's hands away, fingertips away. And, you know, that's what we need, volunteers,
okay.
just to get people back out
that.
To the polls.
Okay, and so I would also like to thank my other special guest, Mr. Leo Baron Hicks, whom I have a strong affinity for. His show starts at 5 p.m. today, and he's going to be talking. The name of his show is Solutions with Leo Baron Hicks. Again, his show is Solutions with Leo Baron Hicks. Please join us next week as we take a look at the current events with Patrick Cook. I am your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Don't forget to bookmark this site. Also, go to my blog, at tailormade101.blogspot.com. Until next time, remember it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook. All right, guys, I appreciate it. That's the end of our show. And, Leo, I'll be calling you here momentarily.
I look forward to it.
All right, thank you, Ms. Don. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.